Unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
Lord, your God is the world, Lord, your God of Israel.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This public service program comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's story, written by Morton Wishengrad, features Bernard Lenroe as Cyrus Adler. Following the dramatic portion of the program, you'll hear a talk by Dr. Abraham A. Newman.
Well, you look like a bright little girl.
Yes, teacher.
You're not afraid, are you?
Oh, no, ma'am. My daddy says I like grade school.
Well, your daddy's absolutely right. What is your name?
Sarah Adler, ma'am. But Daddy calls me Sally.
Oh, fine, Sally. Now, what is your father's occupation?
President.
What?
President.
You don't understand, Sally. What is your father's work?
President.
Well, president of what?
Oh, lots of things, teacher. Colleges and the Publication Society. An encyclopedia or something. Just president, ma'am.
You seem to know a good many big words for such a little girl.
Oh, Daddy uses little words, too. But I like the big words better. I can say theological and archaeology.
Why, Sally, I think you can. I'd like to meet your daddy.
You will, teacher. Daddy's always going to school.
Adonai, Adam,
these are the righteous who sacrifice their peace of soul for the sake of the community. Five years ago this week, a man named Cyrus Adler died in the city of Philadelphia. He was 77 years old and very tired. But his shadows remained or not tired. For what, asked Emerson, is a human institution if it is not the lengthened shadow of a man? The shadows of Cyrus Adler endure, for he was a founder, a builder, a servant of the community of Israel. In the year 1892, the secretary of the Smithsonian Institution put a question to Dr. Cyrus Adler.
Dr. Adler, are you satisfied with teaching at Johns Hopkins?
I think so, Professor Langley.
What is it that you teach again?
Semitics, Hebrew, Arabic, and a little of everything else. Coptic, Ethiopic, Aramaic, Syriac.
Sounds very exciting, Dr. Adler. What do you do for relaxation?
I catalog libraries.
Very thrilling. Here, let me light you a cigar.
Thank you.
Well, now you look better, Adler. With that cigar in your mouth, you're not such a confounded ascetic. Yes, at this moment, you look like a rather scholarly football player.
That's a good cigar. That wasn't such a bad guess, Professor Langley. I did play a little football at the University of Pennsylvania.
Oh? Well, tell me, how would you like to play scholar at the Smithsonian Institution? I'd like you to join my staff. What do you say?
Oh, it's a flattering offer.
Well,
Will I have time for my own research?
All the time you want. How about it, Adler?
I'll say all right on one condition.
Name it.
I can't work on Saturday.
You can observe every Sabbath in the book for all I care. Hebrew, Christian, and Muslim.
Then I'll take the job, Professor Langley.
Glad to have you. Tell me, where were you born?
A little place in Arkansas called Van Buren.
Never heard of it. Adler, people here may ask you some questions about your religion. I hope you won't be offended.
Why should I be, Langley? The time to worry is when people don't ask questions.
Forgive me for being inquisitive, Dr. Adler.
Yes, Mrs. Good?
Mother, may I go on?
Billy, I'm speaking to Dr. Adler.
But, Mother...
Billy, you're being rude.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, what is it, Billy?
May I go out and play with the boys?
Billy, you haven't forgotten. It's Sunday. We don't play with the boys on Sunday.
Yes, ma'am.
Excuse me, Dr. Adler. I was going to ask how you reconcile Americanism with Judaism.
There's nothing to reconcile, Mrs. Good.
Isn't there, Dr. Adler? Judaism is such a complete way of life.
Billy, come here.
Yes, sir?
Would you like to play outside?
Yes, sir.
But you're not going to because it's Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Good, don't you think that's a way of life?
Yes, of course, Dr. Adler. My husband tells me the exposition you arranged was a great success.
Oh, Mrs. Good, let's not change the subject.
You're perfectly right. Dr. Adler, what I was trying to ask is whether you are loyal to America or to Judaism. I hope I'm not being impertinent.
Not at all, Mrs. Good. Billy, may I ask you another question?
Yes, sir.
Whom do you love more, Billy, your father or your mother?
Well, sir, I love them both.
That's good, Billy. That wasn't a very reasonable question I asked, was it, son?
No, sir.
Dr. Adler, you make me feel ashamed of myself. I wish you'd go out and talk to people. We need to hear someone like you.
No. My job is studying. That's all I ever want to do. Mrs. Good, nothing's ever going to keep me from being a scholar.
The ideal existence for Cyrus Adler. He found what he wanted at the Smithsonian Institution. He loved the company of books, the talk of learned men, the gentle quiet of museums and libraries. And in the busy, crowded years that followed, he took no conceit from his learning. He was anxious only for order and for intellectual honesty. If there was a passion in his life, it was for his religion and his people. But he served both modestly, without ostentation. He detested display of any kind, and his piety, which went deep, was deeper because he kept it to himself. And yet there were excitements, even interludes of adventure, as when Professor Langley asked him to approve a purchase of some ancient manuscripts.
I'm almost afraid to handle these manuscripts, Adler. Good Lord, but they're old. Look at the green mold on the leather.
Yes. A little too green, Professor Langley.
Tischendorf of Leipzig says they're absolutely genuine.
Tischendorf could be wrong.
Huh? Could he?
And look, don't you think the writing looks a bit peculiar?
Peculiar? I hadn't noticed. What's peculiar about the writing?
Well, it's much too regular. This style resembles modern printing.
You're not trying to say we're being swindled.
No. Professor Langley, there's an old Quaker I know in Philadelphia. Briarley's his name. He's a chemist.
Oh? Uh-huh.
If you've no objection, I want him to put these green spots under a microscope.
Dr. Adler, I tell thee it's ungodly to be so suspicious of men.
Well, perhaps you're right, Mr. Briarley, but what do your tests show?
Dr. Adler, what does any test show? Friend, the world is doomed. I fear that nobody but thee and me will be saved, and sometimes, friend, I have my doubts about thee.
Yes, of course, Mr. Briarley, but the green mold on the manuscripts.
Mold? This isn't mold.
I see. What is it, then?
Nicely dropped on, nicely green, nicely ancient in appearance, and nicely fraudulent. Yes, Dr. Adler, the world is steeped in iniquity. Iniquity and fraud, Dr. Adler. Fraud and iniquity.
Excuse me, Mr. Browley. If it wasn't mold that produced these green spots, what did?
Iniquity, friend. Lust for gain, human deceit and avarice.
Yes, but...
H2SO3, Dr. Adler. Nothing but sulfurous acid. H2SO3. What a pity. I could have done a better job myself.
Thus, the sale of a clever forgery prevented by an old chemist's microscope and a scholar's intuition. Cyrus Adler returned to his work with greater zest. It was a time of happiness for him. Who could foresee the anxieties and the upheavals that were to come? A student could sit in his university and believe in his heart that the world was moving toward understanding. Men were caught by the spirit of inquiry and stirred by the steady progress of science. And Cyrus Adler was seized by a great vision, a vision for his people. And because he was a scholar, he saw that vision in terms of scholarship.
I've got a plan to revive Hebrew education in America. I want you to call a meeting of the board of Gratz College.
What good are plans? Who's going to carry it through?
I'll carry it through. Call a meeting of the board. I can't see institutions half dead. They've either got to be live or die.
Well, but you were too busy to take over the Jewish Publication Society.
A man shouldn't be too busy to do the things he loves. I've got a reorganization scheme all worked out.
Adler, we're happy you can come to New York to give these lectures on biblical archaeology.
I'm glad to, Rabbi.
But how can you? You're so busy.
Rabbi, I'm discovering that the busier a man is, the more he can do.
Look, Adler, I respect you. You're not the kind of a man who keeps his religion in a closet 6 days a week. But you can't make a whole career out of that seventh day.
Langley, I'm not an ascetic, but through religion, people can be taught the lessons of a democratic faith.
I wonder. Adler, I'm troubled by all the religious diversities in this country.
Well, difference isn't a bad thing. This country's built on unity, not uniformity. We don't believe in social toleration, but in social liberty. It's a terribly important distinction. And Langley, it holds good for religion.
Maybe so, Adler. Religion's not my line.
Well, science is. Look at that building. The bricks are all colors and shapes, but the mortar holds it together and makes it a solid wall. There's your application for Americanism.
Hang it all, I wish you could be here full time. Someday you're going to be assistant secretary of the Smithsonian, and when I'm gone, well, there's a career here for you, you know that.
I do, Langley. I'm grateful, believe me. I've got another career. It's bigger, I think. Langley, there's a theological seminary in New York. Right now, it's nothing but a ramshackle old building, but it can be a great center of traditional Judaism.
Is that why you're going to New York?
Yes, Langley. I'm going to talk to a man by the name of Jacob Schiff. Wish me luck.
Adler, why come to me?
Tell me a better person to see Mr. Schiff. I'll go to him.
Look here, aren't you doing enough? You ought to be satisfied.
The day I'm satisfied, I want to die. Mr. Schiff, that seminary has to be built. If you say yes, I'll go to England and persuade Solomon Schechter to come here. With Schechter, we can make New York a center of Jewish theology.
Adler, this isn't an ordinary contribution you're asking.
Mr. Schiff, you will find a verse in Isaiah. Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us?
Well?
There's an answer, Mr. Schiff. Hineni shlacheni. Here am I. Send me. Mr. Schiff, I'm a scholar. I don't want to come here and beg. It's humiliating. But it's more humiliating to see traditional Judaism declining in America. Nothing else matters. You've got to see that.
I'll talk it over with Judge Sulzberger. Maybe we can get Louis Marshall and the Guggenheims in on it. Adler, I'm promising nothing. We'll talk it over, that's all. Adler, you win. We've agreed to put up $500,000, but...
Yes, Mr. Schiff?
On one condition.
Yes?
You're right about Solomon Schechter. We'll get him. But Schechter's not an executive. We want you to take over the job of administration.
You can get someone else, Mr. Schiff.
We want no one else. What did you say to me the other day?
Hineni Shlacheni. Here am I, send me.
It cuts two ways, Adler.
You're right, Mr. Schiff. It cuts two ways. I'll be spending my time signing checks, making speeches, calling meetings. I suppose I can get used to anything.
What's the sacrifice of one scholar if it makes many scholars? Adler, you'll have to see this through right from the beginning. It's your baby. Adler, the architects say your plan is fine.
That's good, Mr. Schiff. Now, I want the library to be changed to this floor. All a university is, Mr. Schiff, is a collection of books with students who know how to use them.
Sure. Now you'd better run or you'll miss that 6:07 for Washington.
Adler, Congress is penny-pinching on that appropriation. Talk to the committee, will you? You've got away with those congressmen.
I'll prepare the papers on the train.
Sorry to rush off, Langley, but I'm late.
What we need more than anything else, Mr. Schiff, is a representative body to deal with situations like this terrible Kishinev pogrom. We need an American Jewish committee.
Adler, go ahead and organize it. We'll stand behind you.
Dr. Adler, the entire fortune of Moses A. Dropsy has been left to found a college of Hebrew and cognate learning. We've agreed that you must be president of the college.
All right, Judge Sulzberger, I won't sidestep a responsibility. Only God give me strength.
I've never felt more sorry to see anyone go.
I'll miss you, Langley.
You won't change your mind about leaving the Smithsonian?
No, Langley. 4,000 years of Judaism have made my mind up for me. A great tradition needs servants.
Please give my best to Mrs. Adler. Tell her... Well, you know what to tell her. Tell her to watch out. Responsibilities come to Cyrus Adler like a moth to a flame.
Thank you, Langley.
Good luck, Adler. I don't know whether I'm saying goodbye to a man or to an institution.
Samuel Langley was right. Cyrus Adler built many things, and whatever he built was built soundly and with all his might. He was a man, but he became an institution in the world of Judaism. The years passed, and the things he did were charged with godliness and the comradeship of men. And always he clung stubbornly to his faith, and always he builded on his faith. In the month of December in the year 1939, the 77th year of his life, a great spokesman of his people lay dying. But it was also the hour of the world's agony. And a summons was sent out by the President of the United States to a representative of American Protestantism, a representative of American Catholicism, and to Cyrus Adler to demonstrate that the religion of America was the eternal enemy of every government conceived in tyranny.
Help me out with my clothes, please.
Cyrus... You can't go to Washington.
My dear, people don't refuse a summons from the President of the United States.
You're in no condition to go. The doctor says... He said...
I'll fool him. I'm a pretty stubborn man, my dear. You should know that. I'll go to Washington and come back.
Let me go with you.
No. I'll do it alone.
Then let a nurse go with you, please.
No. I'll go under my own power. I'll come back the same way.
Here are your shoes.
Don't worry. We ought to be very proud.
Wear this suit. You always looked well in it. I want the spokesman for American Judaism to look handsome when he sits in the president's office.
In the year 1940, Cyrus Adler went from the city of Philadelphia to the city of Washington. With the representatives of the Catholic and Protestant faiths, he framed the resolution of American religion and American democracy. And Cyrus Adler returned and died. He was not a man, but an institution, and the shadows he cast are enduring. Tzadikim notnim et nafshateihim al hatzibur. These are the righteous who sacrifice their peace of soul for the community. This is the valedictory of Cyrus Adler, the words by which his students knew him.
Our banners must be held aloft. We cannot muster armies. We cannot build navies. We cannot compete with the air fleets of the world. But to the world we shall say, dying and bleeding, we shall say, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. He maintaineth my lot. Yea, I have a goodly heritage.
Copies of the script you have just heard, as well as the talk which follows immediately, may be obtained free of cost by writing to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we present Dr. Abraham A. Newman, president of the Dropsy College for Hebrew and Cognate Learning in Philadelphia, who speaks to you from Philadelphia.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the second time that Dr. Adler is being memorialized over the radio. On his 75th birthday, a national broadcast was arranged in his honor, a very rare tribute indeed. And now, 5 years after his death, the memory of the man has been brought to you again through this dramatic sketch. I'm unable to say how much of the breath of his being you have been able to absorb through this dramatization. President Roosevelt summed up the man in these glowing words: scholar, patriot, humanitarian, and religious leader who held fast to the ancient verities, an earnest worker in the cause of peace, and advocate of goodwill among men. President Roosevelt knew him well. He reposed great confidence in his statesmanship, which was always wise and kindly. On December 23rd, 1939, as you have heard, he summoned Dr. Adler to the White House to formulate with him and the representatives of the Protestant and Catholic churches a program for the coming of the day when peace would be reestablished in the world. This was a high call to duty, and he responded to it with all the fervor and strength he could summon in the last twilight hours of his life. It is a noble deed to bring the forces of religion together, he wrote to the president. This was indeed his valedictory. Soon thereafter, he received the highest summons from God on high. It is not given to tongue or pen to portray in such brief span the quality of Dr. Adler's life and work. His was a rich life, filled not only with ceaseless activity, but graced with composure of mind and soul. He was a proud American. He was a devout Jew. He was at home in many worlds. He lived in the world of books, in the realm of science, and in the heart of little children. It is a rare man indeed, whose name was a household word in the ghettos of Europe, where students pore over the ancient lore of the Talmud, and whose birthplace in Van Buren, Arkansas, bears a marker set up by the local chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution. Cyrus Adler will live long and tenderly in the hearts of all who knew and loved him, Jews and Christians alike. His place in history, too, is firm and secure. Future generations will look back upon his life for a blessing and inspiration.
Thank you, Dr. Newman. Eternal Light is written by Morton Wishengrad. The music is composed by Henry Brandt and conducted by Milton Katims. The soloist was Cantor Robert H. Siegel of the Beacon Street Temple, Brookline, Massachusetts. Bernard Lenroe appeared as Cyrus Adler and Alexander Scorby as narrator. The entire production was under the direction of Ira Avery. This program is a public service presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. For free copies of today's script, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. This program came to you from New York City. This is the National Broadcasting Company.